I'm your host, Jeff Dawson, for another episode of Dawson's Domain, where we cover the spectrum of life's pressing issues and events, from politics to relationships, sports to horror, alternative history to poetry, humor to baseball coaching, and everything in between. This is Jeff Dawson from Dallas, Texas, and for October, we can't complain too much. Temperatures are going to be in the 60s, 70s, a little cloudy and crisp, but we're actually having a fall, which if you live in Texas, that usually lasts about a week, and it gets cold and rainy, and it stays that way. Today, I want to talk about censorship. And I have seen this firsthand, and it's really not pretty. And my first run-in was with Facebook, because we all know this week, everyone, including those in the House and the Senate, have lost their ever-loving minds. One of the first books I published was called Occupation. I believe that was the third one. And it is a story of vampires taking on the Third Reich. So I wrestled with what type of cover is going to work. You got vampires, you got the Third Reich. And it took about 2 months to actually come up with the idea. Now, I know this is radio, but this is being recorded, so it will pop up in about 2 or 3 days on the BBS One site. And this is the cover I came up with. And what it has a vampire's eyes, and it's biting into a swastika, and blood is running down it. Because that's, we're told as authors, your book cover needs to grab the attention of readers and convey what the story's about. And this cover does it. Well, I didn't realize the shitstorm that I was starting. In fact, today I have a site, jeffdawsonauthor.site. Look that up. And the first book that was showcased is Occupation. I checked this site 2 weeks ago. Everything was good. Not today. That cover is gone. I have two book trailers. One is for my Gateway series, which there is absolutely nothing inflammatory, derogatory, racist, whatever word you want to throw out there, nothing. That's gone. Well, I think it was about 6 months ago, there was talk that, no, it wasn't that long ago. Was it like 2 months ago? That YouTube was dropping videos. Okay. I've got a book trailer for Occupation. It has a lot of pictures from World War II. Nothing inflammatory about that. It has headings under each scene that is describing what goes on. And then at the very end, it has the book cover. Gone. I had over, 500 or 600 likes and views on it, not one disparaging comment, nothing derogatory, nothing out of the ordinary. It's gone. It's not only gone from there, it's gone from my jeffdawsonauthor.site page. Now, this is censorship. So on Facebook, I actually took the time and started looking up Third Reich sites. There was a slew of them. And there was also a site for Ilsa, She-Wolf of the SS. This was an X-rated movie that came out in the late 60s or early 70s. That was up there. So I'm finding all of these references to the Third Reich. And I sent Zuckerberg a certified letter before they blew into this monstrous company. Granted, you think I got a response? Well, no. But I did get the green card back, so someone at Facebook received it. They just chose not to respond to it. So this week, we hear a story breaks about Biden and his son and their collusion with the Ukraine and all of this just lovely, wonderful stuff. And apparently, Facebook and Twitter blocked it. And some of the arguments have been, well, they're private companies. Okay, that's a fair argument. Then explain to me, if it's a private company, why Facebook is trading at $265.93 a share and Twitter is $45.81 a share. Obviously, they've gone public and obviously they're selling shares for their company, which means they have a board of directors. So they aren't a private company. And we also remember not too long ago where they had a big congressional hearing. And I looked at it like the congressional hearing when Major League Baseball went up there to whimper, whine, and complain that they had teams that were going to go broke and Congress needed to bail them out. Bud Selig, you made yourself look so stupid, but then. That's pretty much what you did with baseball as commissioner. You just looked foolish, ignorant, and they should have just thrown you out and not had a hearing. That aside, everyone's up in arms. It's squashing freedom of the press. Okay. When did Facebook and Twitter become the press? Well, this is the question I have. I don't rely on Facebook and Twitter to get my news. I have actually put several posts on my personal Facebook site that if you rely on Facebook and Twitter to get your news, then you really need to check yourself. I mean, you're just a dumbass. That was never intended. They were never intended to be news sources. One started out as a dating site. It was going to be Harvard Connect until Zuckerberg hijacked the idea, like Gates did with Jobs, and went out on his own and has made hundreds of millions of dollars. Yeah, that was corporate identity theft, but there was no corporation. And yeah, down the road, he got sued. He had to pay the Vinkelmans. He had to pay Severino substantial sums of money because basically it was intellectual property theft. But that aside, when did these two entities become news outlets? This is what boggles my mind. It's censorship. Okay. So, censorship would be if Google got together and just basically got their scripts together, made up new programs, and banned any and every conservative publication. Now, to me, that is censorship. And that's not what Google is set up for. It's a search engine. So you can find anything you want. So that's where I get my news, and that's where I do my research to back up anything that I'm going to have a strong opinion, excuse me, a strong opinion about, and make sure that I've got my facts in line before I look like a dumbass and just put something out there for the hell of it. That is censorship. So now I believe there's going to be a big hearing. Just what we need is another hearing. And what is going to be accomplished in this? I understand I heard Ted Cruz, and he was quoting the Federal Communications Act and one of its sections in there, because we already heard the debate about being a publisher, being an editor, the dissemination of information. That's not what these were started out for. And to be honest, when Twitter first started, I heard it from this guy that was playing for the Cincinnati Bengals. He went by the name of Ocho Cinco back in the day, and that if he didn't get his way, he was going to stand on the sidelines and tweet out his thoughts. And I was like, who gives two shits? Nobody cares what you think. You're just a football player. And what the hell is Twitter anyway? My first introduction to it was through some of the book groups that I was a member of. And that was probably what, 6, 7 years ago when I joined some of these. You know, just like Facebook, share and like, and we'll do the same thing. Well, that was a bunch of crap. You know, most of them didn't return the favor, even though you did. Well, that's irrelevant. But this censorship, I do not consider, granted, they are public companies. They obviously have a board of directors, and they are the ones that are setting policy. So, someone tell me how Facebook and Twitter not allowing this story to be out is censorship. I don't get it. And I'm not losing my mind over it. Yes, when Zuckerberg went before the last hearing a month ago, I mean, he honestly lied when he said, we're not publishing, we are not editing and discriminating against what posts go on Facebook. Yet the people that did Operation Veritas proved him wrong. So he perjured himself before Congress. Okay. Now that was a major, major mistake. Are they going to charge him with anything? Doubtful. Okay, you lied before Congress. Well, I apologize. Well, hell, how many senators and congressmen should be in jail for lying at hearings? I've lost count. It doesn't matter if they're on the right. It doesn't matter if they're on the left. It doesn't matter if they're in the middle. You listen to the hearings and you just shake your head going, these are the people that represent us. If anyone needs censorship and a muzzle, it's the Senate and the Congress. And anyone else that wants to go out and give an interview to get their 5 minutes of fame. That just drives me nuts. But the censorship deal, I do have a problem in that I am a target of it. Have any of you had a book cover rejected by Facebook, by YouTube, by any organization? I didn't think it was possible until I came up with a cover for Occupation. And with Halloween coming up, I am going to give a plug here. You still can go to Jeff Dawson, author.site, and all of my other books are there. So you can click on them, like in the Occupation series, which is really good for Halloween. You've also got Sabotage, that's book two, and you've got The Cauldron. Now, I'm really surprised they didn't go after this one, Sabotage, because if you see it, yep, there's a swastika that's burning. Well, I guess that's acceptable. But to have a vampire biting into it, because that's what the book is about. This is about evil versus evil. That's what depicts it. And I've also got that available in a 3x2 poster. Well, when they banned the first cover, I had to get with my design artist, and this one's not going to be as easy to see. This is on the ebook, and there, that's the second one. So I've got a group of soldiers that are cowering in the woods, and you have these two vampires that are coming over the forest, top of the trees, and that depicts it, but it's not as in your face. The first one really gets your attention. The second one, it conveys the message, but it just doesn't smack you up the side of the head and say, hey, you need to read this book. And to go with that, I've also got some Occupation t-shirts. And that is the vampire. That is Svetlana Romanoff. She's mean. That's all it is. I mean, I'm into the third book. And she's brutal. She doesn't take crap from anyone. But I have noticed that as the story is progressing, she has become a little more tempered in her makeup, which might save her because I believe there's going to be two more books in this series. That's up to the characters. But this censorship deal, explain it to me. Somebody explain to me why it is a crime for Facebook or Twitter to block this stuff. I mean, you go back to Twitter, how many of us really knew about it? Basically, you were just talking to people, you were selling products, and that was my understanding. That's what Twitter was based on. In fact, most of the stuff I followed, it was all authors and selling their stuff. And then politics started creeping into it. And I don't know if it was because Trump was a big tweeter or whatever, but I sure the hell don't follow Twitter for my news or to see what's going on. Yeah, a lot of people post a story here, they post a story there. I watch it, you get all of what, minute and a half of some video or some story. Is that your news in the snapshot? Is that what you're going to believe, that that's it? I mean, look where it got us. We see these little clips like the Sandman clip. If you remember, he was the high school student in Washington, D.C., and his school was visiting, and the Indian was standing in front banging his drum, and the media lost their mind over that. And since then, he is going to become, when all the suits are settled, he'll probably be worth over $500 million or close to it with the libel suits that he filed because nobody gave the whole story. Now, that to me is censorship when the media, right or left, gives you a sound bite. Here, let's run this sound bite and see what they said. Well, are you getting all the context? Or are you getting that agency's slant on the story. Well, it's the slant on the story. Yet, people today love to rely on knee-jerkpedia, and that's what I call it. Somebody posts something that they know everyone's going to agree with, and everybody jumps on the bandwagon. And if they don't agree with it, then everyone disowns it. That, to me, is censorship, because you are not getting the whole story in the context that it has happened. This is what we as authors do. We take an idea, but then we develop the idea fully, not partially, not just a tidbit, not a snippet, fully. Develop the story to the best of our abilities. How come our news can't do that? Because they all have an agenda. Right, left, or independent. And I did a YouTube video on WGN. To be honest, that is the only one that I will watch for more than 2 to 5 minutes. They claimed when they started this news broadcast, because it's not a show, it is a broadcast, that they're just going to lay the stories out and let the viewers decide. And they're really good at showing both sides of an issue, whether it's a Trump issue, a Biden issue, a Republican, a Democratic. They aren't performing censorship. They are showing you a full clip. They don't rush from story to story because, I'm sorry, we're out of time. That just drives me insane when these, I don't even, you know, maybe they're more of a circus. Fox, MSNBC, NPR, MSNBC, just CNN, just, it's a show. We have a panel of five people. And you've got a 3-minute segment, and the anchor asks a question in the last minute and a half, and you got four other people that have to comment on that in a minute and a half. That's really covering the story, and I love it when they end it and say, I wish we had more time. Well, you know something? You got a producer who is setting this up. It's like, we don't need to cover all of this, okay? Because it doesn't matter, because all the shows before us have covered this. So we don't need to give our take on it, because to be honest, we're just regurgitating the same anchors over and over and over with all of their expert analysis bullshit thoughts. And that's really what it comes down to. I don't get that from WGN. But the censorship stuff, yeah, Facebook, yeah, it really pissed me off. So they banned the cover. They banned it at Facebook Deutsche, which I understand. I completely understand, because after the end of World War II and the new constitution for West Germany was developed, the swastika is out. In no shape or form will that ever be allowed. So I can understand that being, for a better term, offensive and in poor taste. So, okay, not a problem. That's the second cover. But that is censorship. A book cover. I'm not losing my mind over Twitter and Facebook blocking a story. Now, if Google blocks it, okay, now we have a problem, because the internet is supposed to be wide open with no filter. And as I said earlier, if you start censoring the conservative papers in its entirety, now you are trampling on the First Amendment. Now there's a case where viewers rely on that because we know newspapers are dying across the country. They're still out there, and you can still get them. I mean, occasionally I get the, I guess it's the Dallas Morning News that survived. I get the Sunday paper occasionally, but that doesn't mean I believe everything that a writer has written. But at least the majority of the articles aren't op-eds like what we are fed by the press today. The paper actually has the back section. Here are the opinion editorials. Say what you want to. We'll put your case out there. It's just nuts. But so have I lost my mind over Twitter and Facebook banning one story? No, I'm not. There's more to life. But it did touch on the First Amendment. And if you go and look on this new icon Facebook has where it's for videos, you're going to run across a lot of these First and Second Amendment audits. And I really wish someone could explain what in the hell they're trying to prove. The Second Amendment audits are, I just laugh and shake my head. There was a guy with an AR-15. He's walking down the street. It was up north somewhere. It was snowing. Somebody, a concerned citizen, calls in and says, "Hey, there's some guy walking down the street with a rifle. You might want to check him out." He deliberately did this. This wasn't a coincidence. He wasn't coming back from a hunt. He wanted to walk around town until the cops came up and questioned him so he could show his ass. And his response was, "I'm taking my rifle for a walk. I'm taking my AR out for a walk." Really? Was it scratching at the door? Was it panning? Was it jumping up and down on its stock, demanding to be taken outside, to be aired out? What sane person is going to walk down a street, walk down a highway with a long rifle, with a shotgun, with a semi-automatic weapon, and think it's not going to raise concern? Have they forgotten about Las Vegas? Have they forgotten about Columbine? Have they forgotten about the theater in Colorado? Have they forgotten about Timothy McVeigh and Terry Nichols? I am all for gun rights with intelligence. And every time I see these guys, it's like, why don't you want to show them your identification? That's my constitutional right not to do that. Well, it's our constitutional right to make sure that our citizens are safe. That's why we are the police. We are supposed to keep the peace. And some person we don't know walking down the street with a long rifle, a shotgun, a semi-automatic weapon needs to be checked out. Do you have all the proper permits and licensing? I think one of the guys said, "No, and you don't need to see it." Really? Well, then if you don't have the permits and you don't have the licensing, then you're carrying illegally. It's my right. Yeah, and it's our right to make sure the citizens of this town are safe. Do you understand that? No, they don't. They just want to parade around for God knows what reason. I mean, yeah, I live in Dallas, and I remember, I think it was like 2 or 3 years ago, there was this group of gun owners, or I don't think they were part of a militia. They were in downtown Fort Worth brandishing their weapons. And yeah, the police showed up and made sure that, okay, what are your intentions? Why are you here? And they explained why they were there. And their weapons were not loaded. Just like when we saw those protesters go into the Michigan Capitol. Remember that story? The story was they just rushed through and stormed the Capitol. Well, if you wanted the full context of the story and wanted to dig a little deeper, each one of those people was checked to make sure those weapons weren't loaded. And since COVID is still running rampant, they had their temperature checked before they were allowed into the Capitol building. Yeah, that kind of slipped by some people. So, I really don't have any sympathy for these guys. I mean, I have friends that hunt. I don't. It was just not something I grew up with. My sons have hunted. No big deal. When they lived up in Northwest Kansas, they're about gun rights, but they're also about responsible gun owners. And they have small children. So if they see somebody walking around aimlessly with a weapon, they're going to be concerned, as any sane person would be, over the safety of their children. So, as far as the Second Amendment audit stuff goes, you're not proving anything other than your abject ignorance. There's no point in it. I have friends that carry where I live, and I understand why they do, but they don't draw attention because they don't want to draw attention to themselves in case someone attempts to come up and do them harm. They don't want that attacker to understand I have a pistol on me and I will protect myself. They don't walk around waving it in the air over on Regal Row and 183 at the passing cars saying, "Look, I've got a pistol. I've got a rifle. It's my Second Amendment to do this." They don't do that. So, for you Second Amendment folks, it's called being responsible. And taking your AR out for a walk is not responsible. That's the dumbest thing I'd ever seen. It's like, man, the cops just need to haul him off for being stupid and scaring the hell out of people. Yes, I know there was a time, especially in the part of the country I live in, farther west, that justice came from a bullet. And sadly, I fear we might be sliding back towards this. If you start censoring the news, the real news, then we are going to have a problem. But it's called being responsible adults. And it just drives me nuts how being responsible and common sense seems to be an anomaly. It's the oddity. It's like, well, if you don't support my side, then you're an idiot. And then I get it from the other side. When I comment on stuff and I write articles, I don't start it with a decided opinion. And we got to see that this week with Amy Barrett's confirmation hearing. I had another friend who lives here who wanted to know, well, why won't she answer the questions? And I gave him an example. Another friend of mine was sitting across from me, and I looked at this one guy, Arthur, and I said, I just shot him dead. What's your verdict? And he kind of looked at me and he goes, well, I said, do you know why I shot him? Do you know if he was holding a weapon? Do you know if he had threatened my life? And he goes, no. And I said, thus, you can't rule on my actions until you have all the facts, correct? And he goes, well, that's correct. And I said, okay. So when you look at these hearings and all of these questions are asked, how are you going to rule on a case? That's like asking me how I'm going to fix a problem on a construction project that someone just called up about and said, we have a problem. What are we going to do? Well, I haven't seen it. I don't have any details. And you want me to make an answer right now, provide you an answer and a solution? I need more information. Thus, Barrett gives the only answer she can. Until I've seen all the facts, I cannot write an opinion and make a decision until I have all the information available. You know, will she be a good justice? Well, I hope so. But I also know that the two that Trump has had approved, Gorsuch and Kavanaugh, have not always voted the way the president thought they should. And this is the deal. Just because you think the law is not conservative or liberal, it's how it's interpreted. So how are you going to lean? This is what you're going to find out. But it doesn't mean you're going to win every case. That just doesn't happen. But facts matter and analysis matters. And I just don't see enough of that from people my age. I'm 60. What happened to our ability to have common sense and reason? I don't know. I really don't. And it is a sad commentary on us. I like to believe that, as I've stated, I will write everything down. I will do my research. And I will put together what passes as an intelligent article or an intelligent story that I can back up. And when I do that, I don't always make my friends on the right happy or my friends on the left happy. Well, I'm not here to do that. I am here to get as much information as is possible, put it together, analyze it, and say, okay, here it is. Whether you agree or disagree, it doesn't matter. But there it is. If you don't, well, then let's see your argument on the topic. And the argument is not, well, I just don't like that. Well, okay. That got as far, didn't it? No, not really. Tell me why you don't like it and why you disagree with it. And we can go forward. So that's how I feel about the Second Amendment, auditors. Now you got the First Amendment auditors. These people are the fringe of stupidity. I don't know what they are trying to prove. Yes, you can film federal buildings. I looked all this stuff up. One that you will hear on them is the Terry Law, and that deals with vehicles being pulled over. And then there's another one where it deals with the Supreme Court in reasonable suspicion. When you watch these audits, the first thing they say is, am I under arrest and what crime have I committed? And the minute the officer says, well, your actions are suspicious in nature, well, cite me the law that I'm in violation of or I'm leaving. And then they go back to the Supreme Court. Well, the Supreme Court has made rulings on this, but they have also left it open for states to write their own statutes concerning this. And the bottom line is, yes, you can film like the guy in Tennessee who drove through the parking lot of the FBI twice in Knoxville, not once and twice. And then he got upset and his daughter's in the car, but he gets upset because the officers chase him. Well, I go back to two names, Timothy McVeigh and Terry Nichols. If you're not familiar with them, look them up. One of the worst terrorist attacks by domestic terrorists in the United States in Oklahoma City. Devastating. So the court has ruled, yes, you can film from a public area like a sidewalk. I'm in construction. The easement for a building stops at the back of the sidewalk. In your driveway to your business or to your home, you will see what looks like wood in the concrete, a definite separation that separates public from private property. Okay. Yet for you homeowners, that if the city has to replace their lines and they have to come on your side of the property, well, a lot of times they aren't going to repair that. They're going to leave it up to you. And that's a whole different topic. But you see these First Amendment guys, and there was one the other night. I don't know when the video was taken. It was in Rockwall, Texas. I'm familiar with that. Officers have a traffic stop. And here come these two morons with their cameras. And they basically encircle. So you've got two people moving around one officer. And the officer tells him, you need to get on this side, which would have been his left side. So he could see everybody that was in the area along with the person they had pulled over. And they failed to comply. He called for backup. Here comes another officer. You still got these two clowns circling them because and trying to get as close as they can because they need the audio and they need to see what's going on. I'll be honest. If I was the person who had been pulled over and saw these guys, I would have turned around and said, get the hell out of here. Now you are threatening me. You are putting my life in jeopardy because you want your 5 minutes of fame. You dumbasses. Pack your shit and go, or I'll make a citizen's arrest. One of the cameramen refused to follow and comply with instructions, and they tackled him. They chased him, tackled him, and they arrested him. And I hope he stays in jail for about 30 days for interfering with a police investigation. I understand there are bad cops. Let's not gloss that over. The guy who filmed this, and if I'd written his name down, I wouldn't give it because I'm not going to give him the satisfaction of being recognized for his stupidity. But he made it very clear to the Rockwall police officers, "Will you wait till the next police stop happens? And we will surround you." So now he's threatening the cops. What the hell is that? That was a direct threat. "We are going to encircle you the next time you pull somebody over." And then they make this claim, you know, the officers, "Well, what are you doing here?" "Well, I'm with the press." "Where's your press pass?" "Well, I don't have to show you that." "Well, what's your story for?" "Well, I don't have to tell you that either." "Well, then you need to get the hell away from my investigation. That's what you need to do." And this is where political correctness has just become absolutely ridiculous. I'm going to try and not cuss because I'm really getting pissed off about this, but get the hell away. You don't realize just for your fame, you could be endangering the person they have pulled over for a minor traffic stop. But you want to make some bullshit point about your, quote, constitutional right? No. I really like the guy that went down to the city of Dallas treatment plant and was filming that. That's infrastructure, okay? What happens if you are out there filming it for your, quote, personal information, and I'm with the press? "Well, tell me what press you're with." "Well, I don't have to do that." "Well, I'll tell you what. If anything happens at this water plant, guess who we're coming to investigate first? And it's you, dumbass. I have no problem with you coming by and taking pictures. People do it all the time. I go to job sites. I take pictures so that I can look at those, look at the new prints, and then determine how we're going to do this project. Have people come out and ask me what I'm doing." And we're going back to when we had VCRs and video cameras. For the most part, they could tell the way we were dressed and by our movements, our actions were not suspicious because we might have the prints with us. This was before everything was digitized. So we've got the prints with us. We're filming it. We're looking at them. We're turning the pages. We're making notes. But that still didn't mean I would not be approached on occasion by one of the owners of the property and asked me what I'm doing. Well, what was I going to do? Today, I would say, "Well, I'm doing a First Amendment audit." And they'd go, "Well, what the hell is that?" "Well, it's my right to be out here and blah, 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 blah." And just keep, you know, just escalate the situation because I want to show my ass because they have no right to question me. No, I would look at them and say, "Well, we're going to bid this job. And this is what they're proposing to do." I had homeowners come out and ask me, "No big deal. Here's what we're doing. This is why I'm taking the pictures." And they were like, "Okay, that's cool. That's fine. We just wanted to make sure that we've never seen you before. We don't know who you are. We see that there's a name on your truck. We're not familiar with them. We just want to make sure that everything's cool." And it's like, "It's cool. Here, I'll give you a business card. This is the company I work for. There's my phone number. If you have any other questions, feel free to call me." And that's called diffusing the situation. But no, these First Amendment people, they want to inflame a situation and they want to waste everybody's time because they are so arrogant. "I don't have to identify myself." Well, if you read the Supreme Court ruling, yeah, you do. Now, the state might be different. Your state statute might be different. But, you know, what it comes down to is when are one of these people going to go too far? And I go back to the one in Rockwall. Well, as you can see, I'm not a threat. How does the officer know that? How does the officer know you don't have a Saturday night special in your back pocket or your front pocket or in your waistband behind your back? How do they know you're not armed? How do they know you don't have a knife? Well, they don't. And of course, you're going to stand there and say, they have no right to pat me down. Well, this got to stop. And they really need to come up in these cities and put an end to it. Because all they're doing is causing unwanted grief. And this is the First and the Second Amendment, folks. They're wasting officers' time. And for what? You want to censor something, Facebook? Take all those videos down of these First and Second Amendment auditors. Because they really aren't serving a purpose. Twitter, you can do the same. Is that censorship? I'll let the courts decide that. YouTube, there's something you can go after instead of a book trailer for a story about vampires taking on the Third Reich. I'm not causing any controversy. I'm not endangering anyone. I am not promoting any actions where people are going to be injured. But your First and Second Amendment folks are. And you got your videos all over the place. You know, you can bring up Caitlin Bennett if you want to. That's fine. I mean, yeah, she's got her own security detail now. Do I think at times that she does go out just to stir things up? Yeah, I do. Do I agree with that? No, I don't. Don't put yourself in harm's way. If you're going to have visit a campus and y'all want to put together a Trump rally or something, or for another candidate, that's fine. But forcing confrontation, it's not going to turn out well. Do you expose liberals? Well, in your mind, yes, you do. You show their side, and you do try and get and have normal discussions with them. I mean, reporters bait interviewees. We know that. They're just like attorneys at times. Well, let's ask a question that we'll get our own, that will twist to our side, and we can do all this. For the most part, Caitlin asks pretty straightforward questions. And sometimes she does look for trouble where you really shouldn't be looking. And no, before anybody asks, I don't support her Patreon. I'll watch some of her videos, but I'm not sold on. I don't support anybody right now. I just don't do it because there's too much crap out there. Oh. But yeah, the First Amendment stuff, that just drives me nuts. Because one of these days, someone is going to get hurt doing this. They're going to come up on the wrong officer at the wrong time, and someone's going to get shot. And that will serve nobody's purpose. All right, so that's my take on censorship. I'm not losing my mind over it until it comes to my books. That, to me, is censorship. You ban a book because it's cover. Now, I did go back recently on Facebook and looked at a lot of these sites that I had listed to Zuckerberg, that if mine's offensive, then all these need to go. And probably 50% of them are gone, but there's still 50% of them left. And I really don't know what the answer is. But I don't rely on Facebook or Twitter to get my news, because that's just being lazy. And that's actually making you more ignorant because you don't want to take the time to research anything. So with Halloween coming, you saw my posters for occupation. I've got two of them. You can email me at lddjenterprises.com for pricing and how to get them. The assigned book is $10. The shirts are $15. The posters are $15 with shipping. And I have plenty of them, whichever one you want. On shirt sizes, I've got medium, large, extra large, double X. For the girls, I've got tank tops in small, medium, large, and I believe I've got those in extra large too. And like I said, those are 15. That's with shipping. So if you're interested, drop me a line, let me know, and I will get that off to you so that you can have it for Halloween. And that ends this episode of Dawson's Domain. I hope you have a good week. And yes, I will be watching the baseball playoffs tonight because they aren't sporting BLM. By God, I can finally enjoy a sporting event. So y'all have a great weekend, and I'll see you in 2 weeks. I hope you enjoyed our time together. I know I did. Without you wonderful listeners, this show would not be possible. If you want to know more about me and how my brain works, that's a scary thought. Check out my books at Jeff Dawson on Amazon.com, websites LDDJ Enterprises and JeffDawsonAuthor.site for upcoming releases and teaser excerpts from past and present publications. You can also contact me at Facebook, LDDJ Enterprises Publishing, or email LDDJEnterprises@gmail.com or on Twitter at JeffDawson59. Have a great week and look forward to seeing you on the next episode of Dawson's Domain.